Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 15, Marriage and Divorce, part 2. Part 1 of this message was when we looked way back in the beginning at Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, in session 12 of this Bible study. You can go back there to session 12 and get the beginning of this, and then come back here to session 58 and see the second part of it. If you're there with me in Matthew chapter 19, let's look at those first couple of verses to begin with. Verse 1, Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. Our text records three appeals made to Jesus regarding marriage and divorce. First of all, there was an appeal to the traditions of the day. Verses 3 down to verse 6. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. For just any reason. Boy, does that sound like our culture today. There was a hotly debated difference of opinion that existed between the rabbis Shammai and Hillel, who were both near contemporaries of Jesus Christ. The Shammaiites interpreted the law rigidly and permitted a man to divorce his wife only for sexual immorality. The Hillelites took a more liberal approach and permitted a man to divorce his wife for any reason or no reason at all. The Pharisees were making an appeal for the liberal Hillel school of thinking. Jesus' response emphasized the joining together of a man and a woman in marriage. He quoted Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, chapter 2, verse 24, and chapter 5, verse 2. And then Jesus presented the perspective of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 13 down to 16, which reads in Malachi 2, And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, For what reason? Because the Lord has become witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that not let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. One flesh, from our text, declares that the marriage relationship is more than just the result of a decision to marry. If it was that simple, then it could be easily undone. It is a new unit created by the previous two. God did it, and man is not to break it. And second, there was an appeal to the authority of the law. Verse 7, down to verse 9. And they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. See, citing Moses, the Pharisees very cleverly misrepresented Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, which reads, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. It was not a command that Moses gave, but it was a limitation on remarriage in the event of a divorce. While recognizing the legitimacy of divorce when a man, quote, has found some uncleanness in his wife, sexual sin, Jesus' interpretation here, Moses did not command divorce. Jesus' response clarifies that divorce never has to be the end of a problem in a marriage relationship. Jesus clearly sides with the Shammai school. Because of the hardness of your hearts. That phrase establishes divorce as the last resort. The hard-hearted response to sexual immorality by the spouse. So, both here and back in Matthew 5:32, Jesus included the exception clause, permitting the innocent party in such a divorce to remarry without incurring the stigma of one who commits adultery, if the spouse has committed adultery, not you. And yet, this is not the ideal before God. If the divorce is not for sexual immorality, remarriage is adultery. God's people are about forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration. And then third, there was an appeal to the desire of the flesh. Verse 10 down to verse 12. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it's better not to marry. But he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. The disciples' reaction shows they clearly understood the binding nature of marriage. And that Jesus was setting a high standard, permitting divorce in only extreme circumstance. Jesus' response reveals that the decision not to marry is a rare option. And why? Well, because it requires help. The sexual drive is powerful. Jesus said, only those to whom it has been given. And most cannot handle it. But some can do it for kingdom purposes. 1 Corinthians, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Apostle Paul says in verses 7 to 9, he says, "For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God. One in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Physically unable, no problem. Spiritually enabled, no problem. But better to marry than to burn with lust." So, what is the key? I mean, just bring it down to this. What is the key to keeping a marriage divorce-proof? Well, let me pose to you that it's a twofold process. First of all, it requires tapping into spiritual power. If God's power is needed to live a celibate single life, imagine the power that's required for two different people to operate as one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And the threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Marriage union of a husband, a wife, and Jesus Christ. He must be Lord of the marriage relationship. So, you want to make a marriage divorce-proof? You want to make your marriage divorce-proof? You got to tap into spiritual power. Jesus has to be at the center of your marriage relationship. It's got to be a threefold cord. And then second, it requires trusting with simple faith. Verse 13. Down to 15. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Of such. Simple trust. Jesus used them as an illustration of those who make up the kingdom of heaven. Those with simple faith. God-empowered faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." So, divorce-proofing a marriage, divorce-proofing your marriage, twofold. Tapping into spiritual power and trusting with simple faith. You have a great day.